Okay, shalom aleichem, everyone. Thank you for coming. The topic tonight is an interesting topic. I wanted to discuss some of the tshuvas relating to situations which come up in modern day halacha because of the security system situation in Eretz Yisrael. Different situations of espionage, specifically one that relates to this week's parsha, which got a lot of attention in recent years. So let's read the story which spurred much of this controversy. I'm sure there have been many similar stories since, but this is a story which is very well known, and it's interesting to think about it. Again, I don't think the particular subjects in this particular story, I don't think asked the Shaila, but it would be interesting to know what the answer to the Shaila was in light of the different halachic factors we will be studying tonight. So the Shaila is as follows. The case was called, I'm sure many of you have heard of it, the Vanunu case. Why was it called that? We'll see in a minute. A much lesser known Jewish spy in modern times, I'm reading from an article written by a friend of mine, Eitan Schnell. A much lesser known Jewish spy in modern times is an American Israeli by the name of Cheryl Ben Tov, or Cindy, her codename for top-secret Mossad mission that helped her avert one of the greatest risks to Israeli intelligence and security in recent decades. Mordechai Vanunu is a Moroccan Jew born in 1954 who immigrated to Israel as a young child. He received an Orthodox education and eventually served in the Israeli army. In the early 1980s, Vanunu worked as a technician in the Negev Nuclear Research Center in Dimona, Israel, the site of Israel's then top-secret nuclear weapon production facility, an installation that to this day has never been officially confirmed as a weapons manufacturer site. Even as a student, Vanunu was a staunch anti-war protagonist and led many protests against Israeli military decisions, especially the 1981 airstrike on Iraq's nuclear reactor. In 1986, he decided to leave Israel and travel to Australia. However, before he left, he managed to take approximately 60 secret photographs of the Negev Nuclear Research Center and smuggled them out of the country. Once in Australia, he affiliated himself with the Anglican Church there and eventually traveled to London. In September of 1986, he approached the London Sunday Times with the photos he had taken, and he accepted a large sum of money in exchange for the classified photos. The newspaper was scheduled to publish the sensitive information in early October. The publishers urged Vanunu to remain in the security of his hotel room in the meantime for fear that his divulging of secrets posed a risk to his personal safety. However, on September 30th, 1986, the New York Times reported that Vanunu was missing without a trace. Not long afterward, Vanunu was in Israeli custody and preparing to be tried for treason and espionage against Israel. Press reports revealed that Mossad agents brought Vanunu back to Israel for his trial. Secret agent Cindy, posing as a young American woman, met Vanunu at a social function in London shortly before he disappeared. The two initiated a romantic relationship, and Cindy subsequently convinced him to travel with her to her sister's apartment in Rome. In the process, Vanunu was kidnapped by Mossad operatives who smuggled him covertly back to Israeli soil. While precise details of the operation are unclear, it seems clear that Cindy had a romantic, as we mentioned, relationship with Vanunu, and then encouraged him to follow her to Rome, a strategy known in the intelligence world as the honey trap. At the time of the operation, Cindy was already married to Israeli Ofer Ben Tov. Her name was Cheryl Ben Tov, also an Israeli intelligence officer. The Bentovs currently reside in Orlando, Florida, where Cheryl Bentov sells timeshare properties. They still maintain a residence in Netanya, Israel. So the Shaila are twofold. First of all, assuming such a Shaila was asked, we're talking about from people who came to ask a Shaila. There are two Shailas that could be asked. There could be asked a Shaila pre the exercise, before I go in, am I allowed to go in? Cindy comes to the rabbi and says, am I allowed to go and do this for the safety of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael? Shaila number two is post facto. Once she already did it, is she what we say, asulabal, asulabal? We know that the isser of infidelity, the isser of Eshes Ish, poses, makes her usser both to the person who she's being unfaithful with and the person who she is married to. So now she comes back, she just saved Israel from tremendous havoc, from tremendous possible potential catastrophe, and she wants to know, am I usher to my husband, or could I continue my regular life with my husband? What is the answer? So that's the Shaila I want to investigate tonight. based on the psukim in this week's parsha of the psukim of Parsha Sota and Eishes Ish. So let's take a look quickly. We'll be going fairly quickly because there's a lot to learn and we only have a few minutes. So let's take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Sota Mar Mokum number one. Kol Isha Shahaya La Kinoi Vistira Veloshasas Mehamarim, a woman who is a sota or a suffix sota, and she doesn't want to drink. Bain Shalorotza Bailash Kosa, her husband doesn't want her to drink. Bain Shalorotza Silish, though, she doesn't want to. Bain Shabala Ad Eituma Oyodas, or an aide came and said, or she admitted that she was unfaithful. Osha Haisa Me'elu Hanashim Shein Rulishtos, for whatever reason, halachically she's not allowed to. Osha Kanala Bezin, Hol Venesra Al Baila. This is where the Rambam paskins the Isser Labal, Isser Labo. An illegitimate relationship makes the woman usser both to the person she has a relationship with and the person who she is married to. Isser Labal, Isser Labo. So it would seem clear that in a case like this, even though she had good intentions and she was even going perhaps probably with the permission of her husband, at the end of the day, we have to assume that she was unfaithful to him and therefore there's an Issa L'Baal, Issa L'Baal. Why does the question arise? Because of the Rambam Hilchos Ishus, Perek of Dalet. Again, all these Rambams coming from Chazal, but it's easier to bring it from the Rambam. Where the Rambam says, Maramoka number two, Ha'isha Shezinza Tachas Baila, she was unfaithful to her husband, Bishkoga Obeones. Harezu muteres lebaila, if it was bishkaga, wasn't bemazed, wasn't on purpose, we have to figure out what the case of bishkaga is, or it was beones, or she was raped, she was forced into it, so then she doesn't get the status of asa lebaal, isa lebaal, isa leboa. Harezu muteres. How do we know? Shenemar vehi loy nitvasa, ha nitvasa, but if she was forced, she was raped, muteres, then she is muteres, bein shenensa goy, bein shenensa yisra. So, basically, what do we have to figure out? First of all, is there any heter in this situation that we don't know about? Is there a heter for her in the first place to go and get involved in such a relationship? And secondly, we have to figure out is, once she was involved in a relationship, does this deem her usher to her husband? Or somehow, could we put this in the category of shogeg or ones and not someone who is considered bemezid, therefore she wouldn't be usher? So the question really begins with the tshuva of the Ma'arik. Let's just take a look, glance at two Gemaras, so we can understand properly the tshuva of the Ma'arik. The Gemara says as follows, Meseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, we know that all the mitzvahs in the Torah, you are obligated to be over them if you are at risk of losing your life. The only three mitzvahs where we say Yerag Valyavar, you have to be killed, those are the big three, Gilei Raya, Shvichos Damim, and Avodah Zara. Then the Gemara says, but that's only in private. If we're talking about in a public area, so then even the other mitzvahs you have to do, be killed, Yerag Ve'al Yavur. Take a look at the Gemara that I have in Marmok, Mar and Sanhedrin, Marmok number 3, in the middle of the Makkah, where the Gemara says, Aval Bifar Hesya Afilu Mitzvah Kala, even the smallest of mitzvahs, once it's in public, Yer Horeg Ve'al Yavur, you have to be killed, and you're not over the Isser. My mitzvah kala. What is a mitzvah kala? Amar Rav Bar Yisroch. Amar Rav Afilu Shnuyu Arkasot Demesani. Even if they tell you can't wear a certain type of shoelace, if it's in public, it's to bring the Jewish people down. It's an edict against the Jewish people. So then, if it's Bafrahesia, doesn't matter. You have to be Yerag Vayaver. Es the Gemara famous quash kasha. V'ha Esther Bifrahesia Havia. The most famous case similar to this in all of Tanakh. Esther. What happened to Esther? She was married to Mordechai, and she was Bifar Hesya. How is she allowed to have relations with Achashverosh? Yes, it could be the Gemara should have asked this earlier, because we don't need the case of Bifar Hesya. This is presumably a case of Gilui Arayis. That's a question Tosis asked, but let's leave that question aside for now. Be that as it may, whatever the reason might be, Esther, how was she able to do what she should have done? She should have been Yehareg Ve'al Yavar. She should have let herself be killed. She's not allowed to get involved in an illegitimate relationship. Esther Bifar Hesya Havya. So says the Gemara, Amr Abaye, Esther Karka Oilam Hasta. The Gemara says, a woman involved in the relationship, in relations is a passive participant, and therefore she's not actively being over the Isser, and that's why Esther was allowed to do it, even though it was Bifarhesia. Rava Amar, a slightly different answer. Rava says, Hanos Atman Shaini. In the case of Achashverosh, he wasn't doing it to persecute the Jews, he was doing it for his own pleasure. He was very attracted to Esther, and therefore, since he wasn't doing it for purpose of persecution, Esther wasn't obligated to give up her life. So, we have a question of Esther. Esther should have given up her life. The Gemara gives answers why Esther did not have to give up her life. Now, let's skip to Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Mar Malkum number 4, where the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Abba, Shelo Kedas Haya. This is a quote from the Megillah. Shebichol Yom Veyom Ad Achshav. Esther responds to Mordechai. Mordechai says, I want you to go to the Melech Achashverosh. Esther responds, how could I go? I'm not able to go on my own volition. Why? Ad Achshav Be'ones. Until now, I only went when he forced me by order of the king. I was an honest. The king says, come. You come, or else off with your head. Until now, I was an onus. But if you're telling me to go on my own volition, says Esther, I'm no longer an onus. Says Esther, v'achshav biratza. Now I'm biratza. And what happens once I'm going in and having relations with him, biratza on my own volition, v'kasher avariti, avariti, k'shem she'avariti mibeis abba, kach oived mimcha. The same way I'm osir from mibeis abba, I lost my parents, so too I'm going to be osir to you, Mordechai. Until now, I wasn't deemed osir to my husband. Why? Because it was be'ones. It was be'ones. I was forced into it. So therefore, I wasn't deemed osir. As the Rambam says, there's no Isser Lebal if it was Be'onis. There's no Isser to the original husband if she was forced into it. But now you're telling me to approach Achashverosh, that's considered Beratzon. And if it's Beratzon, Akasher, Avarati, Avarati, I'm going to be deemed Isser to you, Mordechai. How could you demand me to do this? So what is the impression you get from this Gemara? The Gemara tells us that Esther was allowed to do what she did, even though it was before Hestia. The Gemara says that until she went in on her own volition, she was considered an Onus. And since she was considered an Anus, she was not usher to Mordechai. Once she switched and went in on her own volition, as Mordechai demanded her to, now she switches from Anus to Beratzon. She's going in on her own. Once she's Beratzon, she becomes usher to Mordechai. Now let's ask ourselves a question. Okay, she's going to go in on her own, and she's saying, I'm becoming usher to Mordechai. Well, if you're becoming usher to Mordechai, that means you're no longer an Anus. If you're an Anus, then you're not usher to Mordechai. So it means that you're doing it Beratzon. And therefore, you're going to become Asr Mordechai. So why did she do it? Either she's allowed to do it, or she's not allowed to do it. If she's allowed to do it, so then why is she becoming Asr? Obviously, Mordechai is telling her she has to do it. So if she has to do it, so why is she Asr? If she is not allowed to do it, so then why is she doing it? Either way, it should be, it's Asr for her to do, and therefore she'll become Asr to her original husband. Or it's Mutter, and she won't become Asr. It seems like the Gemara is telling us, she has to do it. Mordechai is saying, go ahead and do it. You have to do it. It's what your calling is. So it's mutter. But still, even though it's mutter, still you become usher to your Baal. And that needs explanation. Why are you usher to the original husband if this is something that Klal Yisrael is depending on Esther to do and still she's become usher to Mordechai? How do we understand it? Comes the Ma'arik and explains. Rabbi Yosef Kolon, one of the Rishonim, 1420 to 1480, comes and has the following Shiloh. Take a look at Mar Malkum number 5. Fascinating Shiloh. Ma'arik was asked as follows. Vashir Sha'al Be'isha Shezinsa Tachas Baila. A woman was unfaithful to her husband. Biratzon. Vihi lo yada. But what did she get wrong? She got one simple thing wrong. She didn't know it was usher. She didn't realize that there was an exclusive relationship. She thought she was permitted to be in a relationship with someone else. Liyadim yesh iser bedavar. She didn't know there was an iser in Eishes Ish. She didn't get up to Parshas Nasai. Bedavar im yechashev shogeg. So there's someone who doesn't know Eishes Ish is aser. Do we consider that a shogeg? And therefore, she's still allowed, she's still permitted to her original husband. Arkan Lishon. That's his question. Says the Ma'arik as follows. La'aniyas daiti nira de'ein lezu din shogeges. This is not considered a shogeg. Lahatira lebaila, we could say she's muteres lebaila. Kevin shehim is kavenes limo mal beisha umizane tachtov. She's betraying her husband. She might not think it's aser midin Torah, but she certainly understands that her husband's not interested in this. She certainly understands that she's betraying her husband. And what does the Torah say when it says that she becomes aser to her husband? It says limol ma'al b'Hashem. Anyone who betrays their husband becomes aser. Says the Ma'arik, the iser to the original husband is not dependent on whether you think it's mutter, whether you think it's usr. That's not what we mean by shogeg and mezid. The iser is dependent on whether you think you are betraying your husband. If you have an option and you think you're betraying your husband, doesn't matter if you think it's mutter from today till tomorrow. If you're betraying your husband, it's a pigam, it's a flaw in the relationship, and you become usser to the original husband, even if you didn't know it was usser. Shkevan she miskavenes limo mal beisha, since she has intention to betray her original husband, umezane tachtav, and she's not being faithful, the haloksiv ishish kisiste ishto, umma. Umala mal b'Hashem. That's what it says. She betrays her husband. The lishtama davka b'chavenes leisra el umala bo ma'al. The point is, it says umal bo ma'al, that she's betraying not her bonus shalom, but she's betraying her husband. So what does the isra depend on? The isra depends on the betrayal of the husband, not necessarily the betrayal of God. So it could be that she doesn't think she's betraying God here. She thinks God lets her get involved in extramarital affairs. But she knows her husband doesn't let. And if she's betraying her husband, that makes the iser to the husband. That's the assumption of the Ma'arik. Ma'arik therefore says, even though you thought it was mutter, you still is an iser to the Baal because you're betraying your husband. And the Ma'arik says, let me bring you a proof. How's he going to bring a proof? Says the Ma'arik. Let's remember the story of Esther. What happened in the story of Esther? Ma'arik says, what happened? Esther comes to Mordechai and says, Kasher avarati avarati. I'm going to be usher to you. But Mordechai still tells her to go. Obviously, she's allowed to go. Why is she allowed to go, says Ma'arik? Take a look at the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim, we don't have this Tosis, but some of the Rishonim say, why is she allowed to go? Because you're right, it's usher generally, but for Hatzalah's call, Klal Yisrael, the entire Jewish people's future is on the line over here, so she was permitted to go. It was mutter for her to go. Not only was it mutter for her to go, Mordechai said, you have to go. Right? Who does? Maybe this is why you're here. Says Mordechai, it's a mitzvah to go, you have a chiv to go. But you still be usher to me. What do you see over here? It's not dependent on whether it's mutter or usher, whether you think it's mutter or usher, whether it's a me'ilah in the Rabbanu Shalom, whether you're betraying God by doing an iser. In this case, it was a mutter for her to do, there was a chiv for Esther to go. Yet you become usher. Why? Because by the very definition, an extramarital relationship is a betrayal in the husband. Now this is going a step further than the original case of the Ma'arik. The original case of the Ma'arik, the husband didn't know about it. The husband would have gotten upset. Here, Mordechai knew about it. Mordechai was telling her. And still, by definition, says the Ma'arik, an extramarital affair is a betrayal of the relationship with the original husband. And even in a case where it's mutter, even in a case where there's a chiv to be engaged in it, still, we deem it that she is usher to the husband, because the husband was betrayed. Umo'olo bo ma'al. He was betrayed, therefore there is an iser. That's what Ma'arik says. It was mutter for Esther, sheheitzilo kol Yisrael. The entire future of the Jewish people were at stake. But still, she was also to Mordechai because she betrayed him. The two things don't go hand in hand. It could be mutter, but still there's an iser laba. Now, a couple hundred years later, Rabbi Yaakov Reisher, from 1661 to 1733, was an Australian rabbi. Australian Rav, Yaakov Reisher, one of the Gdolei Poskim, wrote many Svarim of Tshuvas and Svarim on Shulchan Aruch, was faced with a similar Shaila, but he extends the Chiddush of the Ma'arak. Listen to the Shaila asked to Rabbi Yaakov Reisher in his Shvus Yaakov Maramokum number 6. She'ela, Maisa Shahoya Kachoya. This is the story. Seya Shal B'nei Adam. You have a group of people. Shaholchu B'derech, Maramokum number 6. Shaholchu B'derech, they're walking on the way. Ve'echon Mehem Ishto Imo. One has their wife. Vayihila Eis Erev. It begins to get dark. Ve'holchu L'malon Echad. They go into the inn. Echad Samach Le'ir, near the city. Umatzu Sham Anshi B'lial Reitzchonim. And there are a bunch of bandits near this motel. Shema Mu'adim Laharag Nefashas. And they're ready to kill. They have their knives on them. They have their rifles on them. Al Iske Mamun. And they want to come steal everything we have, or if not, we'll kill you. Ukasher Ra'at Shetzaras and Sarasha Amdu Aleim. When she sees, when these people see what terrible things are happening, La'arogasam, and they're willing to kill them, Vilo Shamu Bishaninu Aleim. And we beg and pleaded for our lives, and it was falling on deaf ears. Al Nafshoisam. As if Gira Atzma, the woman says, I'm going to take one for the team. Rachmana Litzlan, Ha'isha Biritzon Baila, with the permission of her husband, Yisrael Vaidekin Hitzilo Aysam. She engaged in relations with one of the bandits and thereby saved the entire group of people. The Achshav Ba Baila Lisho Li Ishta Muteres. Now her husband comes to the Shus Yankov and asks the Shus Yaakov and my mutter to my wife. My wife saved my life. She saved the life of the whole group. There was nothing else to talk about. This is our last option. But is there an Isser Labal? Is there an Isser to the original husband? Obviously a very, very tough Shaila, where the Shvus Yaakov goes right away to the Marik, and the Shvus Yaakov says, what you did was a tremendous mitzvah. Tremendous mitzvah. It wasn't called Klal Yisrael. He says, he extends it, Ifilu Rabin Me Yisrael. Since the life of a whole group of Klal Yisrael, where you had a number of people there, were at stake, what you did was a mitzvah gedoyla. It was a proper thing to do. Still, says the Shvus Yaakov, at the end of the day, there's an issel about. At the end of the day, you betrayed your husband. The relationship has been sullied somewhat, and therefore the Isser Lebal remains. That's what the Shvus Yaakov answers. Hine lechora dinze poshe ve'orech lefaneinu be'tshuvas marik simin kuf samach zayin shekosav da'afilu heicha she'en kan ninner aveira. Even though there's no Isser be'bi'ilosa k'dei lahatzel kol Yisrael, and he brings many examples, and you skip down further where I, boldface, where he says the shaper of the, in this case also she did good, lahatzolas atzma veharabim umikre anusil inyan zeh, she's considered an honest with respect that she won't be punished, but at the end of the day, like the Marik says, it seems to be that she will still be aser leba. Now the Nodi Yehuda argues on both of these suggestions. First of all, he says, where does the Shvus Yaakov come off equating all of Hatzalos, all of Klal Yisrael, to Hatzalos, a group of Yisrael? How do we know just because it was mutter for Esther to be in a relationship with Achshverosh, to save the entirety of Klal Yisrael, that means it's mutter for this lady to be engaged in a relationship to save that group? How do you know? He says it's specifically all of Klal Yisrael. The Esther Shiny, Shai Ha'isa Lahatzalas Klal Yisrael, was for all of Klal Yisrael. So he says, I don't know how you can make this extension. Then the Nodi Yehuda says, and even the proof of the Maharik from Esther, what was the proof? You see, Esther was Chayiv to do it, and still there was an Isser to Mordechai. Says the Nodi Yehuda, I'm not so convinced that proof is a good proof. Because he says, take a look at Tosfos. What's a bomb kash you could ask on this Gemara? Esther comes to Mordechai and says, you want me to go in on my own volition? I'm going to become usher to you. Kasher avarati avarati. There's going to be an Isser Labal. What should Mordechai have done? Asked Tosfos. Give her a get. Give her a get. Divorce her. What's the big deal? Take a look at Tosfos, Marmakom number 8. Kishem shavarati mi beis abba, kach avarati mimcha, vim toimar ala mailo haya megarsha. Why didn't he just divorce her? Then there's no eshes ish, and there's no iser. Utehemu teres lachzira, and then it'll be permitted. Yeshlomar, lefisha kol maisa ger hu api edim, v'haya yore pen yisparsim hadavle malchus. You have to need edim, and therefore we're concerned that the king would find out about it. The Rajba asks a similar question. The Rajba says, I don't understand Tosfos' answer. You need edim. The Gemara says in Gittin, you'll remember that you could do it. You don't need Edom always. If it's written Biksav Yodo, if Mordechai would have write, he was on the Sanhedrin, he certainly knew how to write again himself. If it's written Biksav Yodo, so then you don't need Edom, says the Rajba. Says the Nodi Yehuda, so I have to assume, based on the Rajba, and this Nodi Yehuda is fascinating, it's in the context of whether you could paskin dinim based on agaritas in Gemara, and he says, by the way, there's one agarita which I see people have been paskining based off of, this agarita with Esther and Achashverosh, and he says, I don't understand, because at the end of the day, says the Nodi Yehuda, I'm going to conclude that it must be that Mordechai gave her a get. Mordechai gave her a get. Why kasher avarati avarati? Because he wasn't able, for technical reasons, he wasn't going to be able to remarry her after that. But there would be no Isser Labal. Of course he gave her a get. And if you assume that he gave her a get, so then the Marik can't prove anything from the story of Mordechai and Esther. Because the story of Mordechai and Esther, we're not talking about Eishes Ish. We're talking about a case where Mordechai gave her a get. She's no longer an Eishes Ish. And she's just ushered to get remarried to Mordechai for separate, detailed reasons. So at the end of the day, we seem to have a debate. First of all, we have to know, is it mutter lechatchila? Well, you have to ask yourself a question. According to the Marik, if it's for Hatzalas, all of Klal Yisrael, it's mutter. According to the Shvus Yaakov, if it's for Hatzalas, a group of Klal Yisrael, it's Mutter. And according to the Noid Behuda, only if it's for Hatzalas, all of Klal Yisrael. Now, what's considered all of Klal Yisrael? So the Rav Kook, in a tshuva, explains there's two factors. Either Roiv of Klal Yisrael, or, says Rav Kook, the Yishuv of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Take a look at Rav Kook, Maramakum number 9, in his Tshuva's Mishpah Kohen. Ve'ein ze inyan klali inyan chashivas ha'aretz k'mo klal Yisrael kulo. Shelo matzino chashivas zula eretz miyuchedes. Ki'im lehakahal hayoshev be'eretz Yisrael. Specifically, the group of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, by definition, says Rav Kook, Hanira Shetamu Desfile, the Eretz Yisrael, by definition, La'olam Kerabim Damu. Doesn't matter if majority of Klal Yisrael is outside Eretz Yisrael, which we will be, Mirta Hashem, reaching that threshold soon, where the majority of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. But for years, it was not like that. But still, by definition, the Yishuv of Yisraelim, of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, says Rav Kook, has the status of Rabbim. So now you come to the question where Cheryl Bentov comes and says, am I allowed to do this? So now already you have a shaila on your hand. It's for Hatzolas, for the salvation of the community, the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps one could argue, as there were many that did. Again, most of this wasn't Eslamaisa, so it's hard to know, but there are those opposed. Perhaps one could have legitimized this relationship, this extramarital relationship, based on the fact that it's Hatzolas, Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. But now we have the shaila. Is there an Isla Baal, Isla Baal? Presumably, based on everything we've seen so far, there would still be...
The Rambam says it's Mutter.
What?
You'd have to justify the Rambam.
What?
Rambam number two.
That what?
Says it's
why?
It says if you do it by Ones, it says it has to be Baal.
Yeah, but Ones means you're raped. You're raped. Over here, you're not raped. You're going in on your... Shgaga is also talking about a case where they explain the Rambam is talking about a case where she thinks that it's her husband and it's not her husband. But the case where she knows that it's not her husband and she's doing it for ulterior motives, so then we are arguing based on the Ma'arik, based on the Shvus Yaakov, based on the Noid Behuda, even if you could argue that it's Mutter, it would still deem her usher to her original husband until we get to a fascinating Shaila of the Binyan Tzion. Also, Maisha Shaya Kachaya. Well, just give me a few minutes because this Shaila is really a whopper of a Shaila. It was between giving you an extra sheet or just saying it bal peh. So you all have to listen to me. But the Shaila is an unbelievable Shaila, and we'll see what the Binyan Tzion was asked. Shaila, hine ze yomim lo kabir ba maisa lefanai. The following story came in front of me. Your ears should save you from hearing such a terrible story. What happened? Right, a certain city, village nearby, Beis Yehudim, Vidarkam Leilech Alamiskar. The husbands would often go out for months, for weeks at a time, to do business. They would go far away from the homes. Mehalech Eze Yamim, many days walk, many days journey away. Unisho Seim Levadim Bebayis, they would leave their wives at home while they were on the road doing business. In Bineim Ubneseim, with their children, Umishar Seim, with the servants, with the people working in the house. Vayehi Hayoim, Kasher Yotzah Ish Kedark Lamischar. The husbands went on a business trip. The Ish Echor Bama Medinas Poland. A certain man came from Poland. Ubi God of Krum. He looked like a real pauper. His clothes were ripped. Vivakish Mea Isha Makum Lolan. He said, could I please stay with you for a few nights? I have no place to stay. Okay? We don't know if they were being over the Isra of Yichud, but it's very important to keep in mind the Isurim of Yichud. Could be there are other people in the home, I don't know. But Isha Sher Haisa Tsinua Biyoser, she was a very pious woman, Isha Tsinua. Kol Yamea, Avalir Asa Kisalta Rachma. She was such a Rachma, she had such Rachmanis for this guy, she wasn't thinking straight, and she said, I have to have Rachmanis on him, come in, stay in our house. Vinosno Makam Lolo, and gave him a place to sleep. Vigam Lecho Lishtos, and she was feeding him and drinking him. Omnam Haorea Chahulo Achal, but he didn't eat anything. Shum dover minachai, no meat, no chicken, nothing. Gamlo shasa mashke rakmayim, all he would drink was water. Ukahena osa maisa precious, he was living a totally ascetic life, separated from gashmius entirely. Visige vasma, he would afflict himself, bisigufim kashim, with heart afflictions. Kol hayom, all day. Yosha bechedri, he would sit in his room, misugar, closed up, locked up. V'sefer b'yado, and he was sitting learning. God mide laila b'laila, all night, every night, ad chatzois, until chatzois. V'achakach, after chatzois, of course, hayim is oinin al churban beis alkeinu. He would say tikkun chatzois. He would cry over the churban beis hamikdash. Uchashe shochav lo shochav al mita. When he would lie down, he wouldn't lie down on a bed. He was a tzaddik, he was a parash, v'safsal. He wouldn't lie down on a bed or a bench. Kim ala aret. He would lie on the floor, on the earth, va'avonim tachas rosha, with rocks under his head. Umidayoyim biyomo tovel atzim b'ayim karim. He would always go to the mikvah, in a cold mikvah. Shel nohar pe'amim be'es hakor, very cold. Kein nohog be'es ha'ishim miyom echad parshas truma. This is how he's knowing from Sunday of parshas truma, at Shabbos kodesh parshas titzaveh, until parshas titzaveh. Omnam b'leil Shabbos achar gemar sudas on Friday night after the meal hatinokim mishar sebayis omdu, everyone got up kula me'al shulchan, they left the table v'holchul lishon l'cheder acheres, they all went to sleep in their private quarters v'isha ramay odenu yoshev al shulchan, the man was still sitting by the table ima isha with the woman levado alone v'nichnas ita bedvarim, and they begin to converse, they begin to discuss, to shmooze ad sheshala oso, until she asks him, you know, you've been living here for a whole week, you've been eating everything, you've strange customs, miata, who are you? Ume ayin basen, where do you come from? Vona telech, where are you going? Where are you headed? V'onala, and he responded to her, shlucha derachmana, I was sent by God. Shlucha derachmana no shmi Eliyahu, and my name is no other than Eliyahu Anovi. And I'm coming to collect Klal Yisrael, the kabbit of some, to gather them, may arba kanfais aretz. V'ein megalan hadavar el etznun. But you can't tell anyone. This is a secret between me and you. You can't tell anyone that Eliyahu Navi has come to herald in the Mashiach. V'aisha l'rov sichlusa heminala. She believed him. He holcha lishon. She went to sleep al mitas becheder samach in the room next door. Va'oichar hanal, this disgusting person, adena yoshev amakom, was still sitting. Va'ayin b'sefer, he was learning ad chatzos laila, until chatzos, as his custom was. Ula acher chatzos, after chatzos, omad va'holach la'at al etzbos raglav. He tippy toes. A'el hamita shera isha shachva, to the bed where the woman was sleeping, shama. V'ha'ir osa, and wakes her up, mishnasa. V'yidaber alea, he says as follows to her. Heina ha'chlachti mikzei ha'aretz. I'm walking from the end of the earth, ar kitzei ha'aretz, until the opposite end of the earth. V'loi matzasi tzadekes kamoyischa, and I have never found someone as righteous as you. Asher hi ra'uya lotzes mimen Mashiach. I can't find a better mother for Mashiach tzirkeinu other than you. But what's the problem? You can't be Mashiach's mother because your husband. Your husband's a good for nothing, and he can't be Mashiach's father. Your husband, he's not worthy of giving birth, of fathering Mashiach. So the Rebbeinu Shalom sent me to father Mashiach with you. And you'll have a son. And he'll be Mashiach ben David. And redeem Klal Yisrael. And I'll prove to you that I am ki Eliyahu Anoichi, that I'm Eliyahu Anovi. Hine b'yoyim ha'gimbo ha'ba'aleinu l'toiva. On Tuesday, la'achar hiprodi, I'm going to leave. Mi'itcha, im tiftach es pesach ha'teva. You open that drawer, asher oimei po b'cheder, right over there, mishkovcha, in your bedroom, timtza sham oitzer matmoin rav arba meyos, dukatin shel zov, you find a large sum of money. Ach b'tznai, but it's only going to be there, obviously, shalei tiftach ha'teva. You can't open it before I leave. You have to wait till I leave. Shalei tiftach ha'teva koidim zman ha'mugbol. Kol divar Eliyahu ha'noyef ad shev tzavsa v'timei hosa pe'omim bila Shabbos u'moitze Shabbos u'biyom harishon terem alos ha'shachar yom harishon Sunday before alos ha'shachar borach ha'noyef misham v'loi noda mikom. No one knows where he is. V'eishes kaslos hanal. And this woman, chosha lichtoiv lebailo she'yashamar. He writes her husband, come back. We're rich. You don't have to do business anymore. I have a large sum of money. Lebeso, asher hitzliach Hashem es beso, b'matmon gado. We have a large treasure. Va'ishama eleha, he listened to her. V'yashav b'yom gimel, he returns on that Tuesday. V'tiftach ha'isha es ha'teva, she opens the drawer. V'lo motza ma'uma me'amatmon, obviously there's nothing there. Asher omer ha'noef, that this terrible noef adulterer told her would be there. Be'osa, when she realized, ki sheker b'fiv, that he was lying. Tza'aka u'bach, so you can imagine how distraught she was. Bimar nafsha, v'safra labala, she tells her husband, es kol ha'toeva asher osa, everything that happened, harasha hazeh, v'dibra alibo, halo lo b'mered u'b'mola sisi. But she says, I wasn't trying to betray you. I wasn't trying to rebel against you. Zoi sadi b'mirayim kavanasi l'shem shemayim. My kavana was l'shem shemayim. I believed him. I thought that this was really sent from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Halo hanoif haya ish maos u'mechur ma'od. This adulterer was obviously a disgusting, despicable human being. The husband comes to the Rav and says, he tells me everything that happened. What should he do? V'shalachti achar ha'isha v'chakarti b'chakir roshonas v'yisapra gamli k'chol advarim hanal v'tzivisi lifrej zemizah ad asher atziah. I said they have to separate until I figure out what the halacha is. He sends the shayla, the rav of the town, obviously doesn't get the shayla every day. He sends it to the gadol hadar, Yaakov Ellinger, the Binyan Tzion, and says, what's the response? The Binyan Tzion responds by saying, perhaps you could equate this to the Maharik. Obviously, the first thing he brings up, not the first thing, but he does bring up the Shaila of the Maharik, and he says, perhaps we could be a little bit more Mekel. Perhaps we could be more Mekel, because over here, she was doing it in the case of the Maharik, not the case of Esther, the case of the Maharik, where she was doing it Bishogig, but she still planned on being rebelling against her husband. She didn't know it was Aser, but she was planning on rebelling against her husband. So says Yaakov Ellinger, that, okay, I understand, that's a rebellion. But where a person's doing it, mamash l'shem shemayim, like Esther was doing it, mamash l'shem shemayim. And this woman, okay, perhaps she shouldn't have believed her. It was a little foolish to believe him. But she, at the end of the day, she wasn't trying to rebel or betray her husband. It was l'shem shemayim, says Yaakov Ellinger. Maybe, perhaps, we could be mekel, but he ends off his shayla by teshuva by saying, achein, ein lismelcha rasi, you can't rely on my heter, im lo yaskimu azeh od shnayim mibalayra. You need two other poskim to read my tshuva, say whether they agree, v'ozet starif imayim, if they agree, I will include myself amongst them, lahater le'isha, bebala, befrashek, fisha nemra, bashela, isha kshera haisa, she was an isha tsnua, an isha kshera, so he says, perhaps we could be mekel. So these are the interesting shilas which come up. Basically, the bottom line is that there could be makom lehakel lechatchila for a person to be engaged if they're confident that this will lead to a salvation for either, according to some poskim, a group of Klal Yisrael, for sure, certainly if it's for all of Klal Yisrael, but again, it will always be much harder to be matter, to permit the ultimate iser to the original husband, the iser labal, because at the end of the day, the Maharik establishes for us that the iser labal is not dependent on whether it was us or mutter, what you thought at the time. It's not dependent on a betrayal against God, it's dependent on the betrayal against the husband, and no matter what we're talking about, what the situation is, if there's an extramarital affair, the assumption is that is a betrayal against the husband, and therefore that would deem them iser labal.
What if in the case where the husband is the mochel the wife?